Welcome to the Sunday Worship Service of New York Church, March 22nd, 2020. Let's pray. O Lord, my God, I will kneel before Thee in lowly adoration, that I set out to face the tasks and interests of another day. I thank Thee for the blessed assurance that I shall not be called upon to face them alone or in my own strength, but shall at all times be accompanied by Thy presence and fortified by Thy grace. I thank Thee that through all our human life, there run the footprints of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who for our sakes was made flesh and tasted all the changes of our mortal lot. I thank Thee for the many spiritual presences with which I shall today be surrounded as I go about my Sunday daily routine and worship, particularly in this time of a trying period. For the heavenly host above, for the saints who rest from their labors, for the patriarchs, prophets, and apostles, for the noble army of martyrs who preceded ahead of me, for all holy and humble men of heart, for my own dear departed friends who are also praying for me and this church. I bless and adore Thy great name. I rejoice, O God, that Thou hast called me to be a member of the Church of Christ, this precious body of Christ of New Hope Church. Let the consciousness of this holy fellowship follow me wherever, whatsoever I do and I go, cheering me in loneliness, protecting me in company, strengthening me against temptation, and encouraging me toward just and charitable deeds. Let Thy power, O Christ, be in us all to share the world's suffering and redress its wrongs as we are currently facing this coronavirus and also many layers of challenges, whether it's a home front, business front, personal health front, and also reputation front. O Father God, please protect us, give us the strength, abound in love and fellowship. We pray in the presence of Holy Spirit by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your God. This is the word of God. And God's people in unison say, Amen. Even though we are physically apart, New York Church members, we have gathered here together by the same Holy Spirit of God in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and the God the Father. Today's scripture reading comes from Psalm 122. And the focus of today's message is the house of the Lord our God. As we encountered the worldwide crisis of COVID-19 and every part of society threatened by it, The urgent spiritual need is how we manage life and continue living in right order and in right mind. David gives the answer, life firmly centered in the house of the Lord. 3 points. Life toward the house of God. Life at the house of God, in the house of God. And thirdly, life from the house of God. First, life toward the house of God. Due to coronavirus pandemic, life as usual is no more. Without a warning, daily routine we have taken for granted is broken. We fear for our life and livelihood. We realize how feeble everything is. While we have relied on providing stability, security, and even significance, whether it be our government and our business, our career, even the weekly church gathering for worship and fellowship, wealth and health are disrupted and shaken to the core and being threatened. We wonder where we should put the hope to restore the joy and confidence. Writer of Psalm 122, David, reminds us where to look for and listen to with his first stanza. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. People find the joy and pleasure when they are getting close to the goal upon which they put their worth and value and purpose. In this time of incessant breaking news and updates, where do you find the good news that sustains our sanity even and sacredness of life? It is determined by where I rest my ultimate hope, according to David. We used to put our trust and hope upon money, career, business, health and wealth, and etc. But in such a short period of time, a week or two, we know now in the end, it is not the money, it is not the career, it is not the business, it is not my health ever being threatened, it is not the wealth as the goal of life and reliable source of resting peace. We are shaken to the core because we have put our hope and trust in those. Composer of this Psalm, David, he himself was the king, knows this limitation and vulnerability of human existence and social fabric. He challenges us, this is a time to turn the life around toward the direction of the house of the Lord and begin to walk the walk by relying on God and His word of covenant. There you find the unchangeable source of your hope. You will experience unshakable security of a persisting peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible is real, and God of the Bible is the living person, worthy of our hope and trust. Jesus Christ, God the Son, is the author and Lord over all our circumstances and situations, past, present, and future. Jesus Christ, He is the Son of God, who gladly take upon our burden and sacrificed on our behalf and saved us from our wretchedness and cursed state, and never stop doing so by His church, by the Holy Spirit, by the whole host of His messengers. When you have this house of the Lord to anchor your life's direction, your soul will find the rest and your anxiousness, bit by bit, dissipated. When you chance upon to hear people say, let us go to the house of the Lord, you will be surprised how much your heart be uplifted and welcome the suggestion and embark on the pilgrim's journey together with the fellow Christians toward the house of the Lord. In practice, you will strive to find the ways sharing the Bible reading together, particularly in this time of a trying period. And we are encouraged to be homebound And we need to go to the home of a home, to the Bible source, our life, fountain spring. Discover the calm and soothing power of a prayer together, increasingly relying on each other's prayer and joy of exerting the beautiful name of the Lord in praise. Your heart will be elated together. Streams of joy spring within your heart. You are experiencing, for you are getting close to the goal of your life, and you are approximating. You are in the proximity of the original design of your makeup, your Creator and Savior God. Paul exclaims this joy in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 11 through 14. He says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory." Let us continue to keep on walking toward the house of the Lord. Second point, life at and in the house of the Lord. Jerusalem becomes the city of God in which the house of God resides when its inhabitants act on the covenant promise of God, and David was the initiator. Even though the city of Jerusalem was located at the smack center within the promised land of Canaan, this citadel city up on the hill and Mount Zion was not part of Israel in reality. It was occupied by the people of Jebusites. No one from the tribe of Judah dared to venture to conquer the land until David organized the army to conquer it. So when David said, "Our feet has been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem," to David it was more than a poetic expression. It was the war cry from the victor. It was an exclamation point. "He has done it. My feet has been standing within the gate. I have reclaimed my promised land that you have given to me." He had done so in obedience of God's covenant promise. He acted on it to bring the promise into a living reality. I ask you this question. What are the areas in your life God has given you as the promised land, your land of Canaan, but still controlled by the unwholesome principles and ungodly lifestyles and priorities, and inundated by the secular inhabitants and controlled by the foreigners, has not been reclaimed by the promised land? This coronavirus, at an initial glance, feels like a dire crisis because it dismantles what we have relied on and believed in it as if it will be permanent. This situation forces us how it is as a real reality. The presumptuous pretense and arrogant stance we have clothed ourselves and believing in it and dealing with the life events and people, how unreliable, fragile they are. But the other side of coin is also true. It is the fact. This is the opportunity from the spiritual angle perspective. that this is opportunity we disengaged from their grips, from the bondage of this slavery to the worldly pursuit and values. It is especially true as a family and family unit. We need to free from the tyranny of urgency and ever-increasing busyness. Even president and governors or emphasizes, please stay at home with your family. It is the Passover times, Exodus times. Spend your time with your family members. Spend time with the family members. What do we do? We eat, share the sacrificed lamb, the Jesus Christ, His word and His spirit. We have fooled ourselves by becoming busybodies and packing the schedules with the fragmented activities to the point of minutes. We are doing well as a family. As a result, home has become the house. Its core has been hollowed out. Huge hole in the middle of our living room. Everyone is walking gingerly around the edge, making sure no one to fall into the hole, the vacuum, the emptiness. In the meanwhile, we don't take time to talk and taking genuine interest in each other's life. We don't live in home. We live in the dormitory. Parenting has become another agenda of a to-do list. Marriage becomes an overnight parking lot, parked side by side over the night, but during the daytime, a vacant, empty parking lot. No one lives there during the daytime. Friends become a playmate. Friendship becomes a playground, simple playground. We just lodging each other just for the time being. It's a time sharing. It's a place sharing. It's a people sharing. Where you play but leave it empty when playtime is over. Relationship among family members become ever virtual. Virtual reality, not the flesh and blood and touch and embracing human person. And it becomes scarce and distancing. Each one is locked in ourselves in our own room, in our smartphone, in our SNS. When is the last time you had the intimate, honest, and heart-to-heart talk with your mom and dad, spouse, children, parents, your siblings, and this, and now is the time? In our business, we have forgotten how to talk, engage in as a real person. We only perform the functions. While we are bustling with activities, relationship becomes like a gray on the bus station or a shopping mall. No one actually lives there. Just visitors, customers, and clients, and salespersons. We don't realize how our souls were languishing for lack of genuine intimate and heart of relationship and beginning from heart of relationship with God based upon His word, relying on the blood of Jesus Christ, guided by the Holy Spirit. For Christians, this virtual epidemic becomes the opportunity to reflect and restore while we remain the ultimate reality and recover the right priority in life. Third point, from the house of the Lord comes the blood-smearing acts of a prayer for the family, church, and neighbors, and for oneself. One time, as I flipped through the newly acquired Bible, had a paper cut, and immediately pages were sprinkled and smeared by the blood. At first, my thought was, boy, how clumsy I am. I have ruined a perfectly clean Bible. Then the thought came upon me that, wow, the Bible, actually each page is drenched by the blood of Jesus Christ, crying out, proclaiming his justice and mercy. He has offered himself as a sacrifice so that I can enjoy the benefit of being the child of God without being shunned by my shortcomings, trespasses, transgressions, and sins and iniquities. In this regard, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 through 18 says, "But when Christ has offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified, which is us. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then as I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more, where there is a forgiveness of this, there is no longer any offering for sins." You know the striking part? Striking part is there is a new desire, there is a new hope, there is a warning, there is a need that come closer to God. There is a desire to praise him. There is a desire to pray for him. There is a desire to listen to the proclamation of the word of God. And it gives us joy and pleasure. And constantly coming out of it, you don't consume it, you commune with it. Once we are house in the house of the Lord, how do we know that we are in the house of the Lord? He's a sanctuary, because no one can get to the access, can enter their set food. In the sanctuary, in the tabernacle, in the house of God, in the holy place, without having sprinkled, being sprinkled by the blood of Jesus Christ, smeared, being smeared by the blood of Jesus Christ upon his forehead, upon the doorstep, our heart, our house, our mind, our businesses. Again, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, let us proceed." Under the design of a tabernacle, the closest item in the holy place sits right before the curtain that separates the holy place and the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of Covenant is, that is the golden altar of incense, whose main role is bringing up the fragrance of people's prayer to God. Act of prayer saturated with the gratitude of the blood of Jesus Christ is a living proof and the most noticeable sign that you have not only arrived in the house of the Lord, you are within the protection of his presence. You are in the sanctuary. You are in the holy place, and you now wanted to enter into the Holy of Holies in the presence of his mercy seat, the Ark of Covenant. You want to pray and pray more. It's the most noticeable sign that you are in the protection and sanctuary of God. God is not, for your information, to clarify, is not obligated to listen to the man's prayer and plea. God does not owe man anything. People take for granted and complaining, why God does not listen to my prayer? Why should he? Why should he? We have a strange sense of entitlement, and God has to listen to my prayer? No. But it is different when it comes from His covenant children, because I'm not just simply people. I'm not simply, you know, one in the multitude, in the crowd. I am children of God. It is like when you have the group picture, the school group picture of the 100 kids and brought it up and in the school album. And you don't recognize the other kids, but you will surely recognize your children's face amongst the multitude of the faces, because they are yours. They are your children. You are their parents. We are the covenant children. Though being adopted by the blood of a rightful son, Jesus Christ, but still we enjoy every right and privilege and prayer being listened to, because we are children of God. Christians and church are called to be the nation of priests for the nations and people. And church is called Jesus Christ, clean up to the temple. And He said, this is the house of God for all nations. We enjoy every right and privilege, and prayer being listened to is the foremost right. Christians, again, and church are called to be the nation of priests for the nations, for all nations, and the multitude, and to the world. What do we do from the center of a house of God to pray? What authority do we exercise a covenant pillar of God? By prayer, we exercise our authority. So Christians lift up the prayer for the city. We Christians lift up the kingdom of God we live in. We Christians lift up the family and friends in prayer. We Christians pray for the house of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church, and the body of Christ, church family, as a body of Christ. Please make the prayer as a priority in you, in your family's daily and weekly routine, particularly in this time of Passover times. David says this prayer for the peace of the city of God, and so do we. And he concludes his psalm. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your words and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions say, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I seek your good. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father God, thank you for your word of God and message, your proclamation, and charges us to be the nation of our priests to pray for the all nations. Oh, Father God, you of church and the Christians, church members, be the house of prayer, home of prayer for the all nations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the mercy of Father God, love of Jesus Christ, and communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit upon us as we go through together as a church family, and being smeared our doorsteps by the blood of Jesus Christ, and take up the authority and responsibility to pray for ourselves, for our families, for our church members, and for the kingdom, for the nations, for the governors and presidents, for the mayors, and pray that they will lead us, guide us, and wisdom, and protect them from the all evil harms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.